It's time to cross back to Jakarta and Waleed Ali.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Great to be here. We are here in Jakarta not really to talk about Indonesia from an Australian perspective, but to try to hear the Indonesian voice from within. Where does Indonesia think that it fits in the world, and where do we fit within that vision? What kind of nation does Indonesia see itself? And I'm joined now by someone who is eminently well-placed to shed light on these issues. Her name is Professor Dewi Fortuna Anwar. She's a lot of things. She's a professor of political science. Also been an advisor to the UN Secretary General on disarmament, also an advisor to the former Indonesian President Habibie. She's currently the chairman of the Habibie Centre and a political advisor to the Vice President of Indonesia, Dewi Fortuna Anwar. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Walid. Welcome to Jakarta.
Where does Indonesia see itself in the world?
Well, Indonesia has always seen itself as a fairly large country, the largest country in Southeast Asia. And it is a regional power. And it's increasingly becoming, you know, a more visible power within the wider East Asian region as well. And it also likes to have a more global impact. But at the same time, it is still a developing country, a country that is still in trying to consolidate its democracy. Its economy is dynamic, but there's still, you know, a lot of people who are in poverty. So Indonesia is still a mix, you know, of various potentials one might say it's an up-and-coming country.
Well, we'll look at the economy a bit later in the show, but it's been growing at about 7%, most recently 6%, and that was seen as a bad result. So that tells you the kind of economic growth that we're talking about. At the centre, though, of Indonesia's contemplation, it seems, from what you've said, is ASEAN and its position as a major power in Southeast Asia. What then does something like the rise of China, which we talk about a lot in Australia, but the rise of China, the decline of America, look like when China's actually not that far away, and you are the major power in ASEAN?
Well, I would like to disagree, you know, with this rise conventional wisdom about the decline of the United States. It's true that the United States is suffering from global crisis at the moment, but if you look at all of the basic indicators, its real economy, its military power, its attraction to the rest of the world in terms of its soft power, culture, and so on, I don't think it's a declining power. But at the same time, you know, China is an up-and-coming power. In fact, you might also say that it has arrived. Now, for Indonesia and Southeast Asia, regardless of what China and the United States and other great powers are doing, for most of the important things for the countries in Southeast Asia, which have suffered from periods of colonization, from being pawns in great power politics, the most important thing for us in this region is to develop regional cohesion, to ensure that there is regional peace and stability within which the different countries in the region could develop themselves in terms of their political system, economic systems, so that we can really live to our full potentials. At the same time, as ASEAN becomes stronger, it can also become a more cohesive actor in the wider region and also in the on the global stage. So first and foremost, you know, we just like to be left in peace, not to be, you know, as objects of great powers, power plays. And regional autonomy is very important.
Sure, but China has shown a very strong interest in ASEAN. And while the West was off looking at Iraq and Afghanistan, China decided to start charming a lot of the countries of this region, including Indonesia. So is a lot of that suspicion of China that may have been in the past starting to recede?
China, as you know, has always been the most significant power in the region. And from a period when most of the ASEAN countries viewed China as its number one bogeyman, fear of China was in fact one of the reasons where ASEAN was founded in the first place. China has opened up and has transformed its foreign policy, has transformed its economies, which makes it much more attractive to the region. And I think that most of the ASEAN countries have seen the benefits of engaging with China. And I welcome that. But clearly, there is also concerns about whether, in the long term, China's policy will continue to be benign towards the region, whether it will assert itself more. And I think that this has always been the concern of these countries. And we welcome the fact that the United States, under Obama, has now had its policy of rebalancing toward Asia.
Well, it's rediscovered this region.
In terms of substance, the United States has never really been away. The Seventh Fleet has never been away.
Right.
American investment here has always been, you know, a major factor, particularly in the oil and gas industries and mining. You know, they've never gone away. But in terms of policy and in terms of attention, there was a perception that the United States was neglecting the region, and it seems that with China becoming closer to the region, and that the region is much more open towards China's interests, that worries Washington somehow.
You mentioned that you want the countries of the region to be left alone, that that's one of the main issues for you. It's a really interesting thought, particularly when we start to think about Australia's relationship with Indonesia, because of course Australia just now opened up the north to greater US military presence. Is that what you and the Indonesian government is referring to when it says it wants to be left alone?
In terms, of course, you know, wanting to be left alone mostly in terms of political and security issues. On economics, this part of the world have always been at the crossroads of civilizations, and trading has always been our, you know, our main trademark. After all, you know, the great shipping lanes are found in Southeast Asia, most of them within the Indonesian waterways. But yes, we are worried about being encircled, for example, by foreign military bases, which could carry out activities which are not necessarily in the best interest of the countries within the region.
And do you mean the United States?
Whether it's United States, whether it's China, or whether any other big countries. But a point to remember is that Indonesia and Australia has tied itself in a security agreement. There's a Lombok Treaty, there's a defense cooperation agreement. One would have thought that it's only good neighborliness if Canberra were to inform Indonesia before the announcement of the Marines being, US Marines being redeployed in Darwin. I don't think seriously that Indonesia would see that as a threat, but frankly, you know, I don't think it was really well done, either by Canberra in particular.
How does Australia look to Indonesia? Does Indonesia see Australia as a major part of its global view?
Well, to be very honest with you, Indonesians do not usually look south too much.
Yeah.
Most of our foreign policy and preferences has turned it to look north, towards China, you know, towards the wider region. Just as Australia tends also to look north. So quite often engage in Canberra only take the attention of Jakarta if things unpleasant were to happen.
And boat people and
these
sorts of things.
Like that, yeah. But while for Australia, a lot of things happening in Indonesia, quite often negative things make it into the headlines in Australian papers. That is not always the case in Indonesian papers. You know, on any given day, very few news about Australia would make it to Indonesian papers.
So,
but Australia is seen as a good friend by Indonesia, particularly in the last few years.
Okay. So just finally then, on the issues that Australia talks about when Indonesia is making headlines in Australia, asylum seekers being a major theme with that. Do you see that as Australia essentially trying to promote its own interests to the exclusion of Indonesia's interests, or is there a genuine bilateral concern there?
Now there's more genuine bilateral concerns because Indonesia is a transiting place for many of these asylum seekers. Now, of course, it's really realistic for Australia to expect Indonesia to be its naval guard to prevent all of these people from going to Australia, given the fact Indonesia also has lack of capacity in doing all these kind of things. So that's why we welcome very much cooperation with Australia through the Bali process, for example, where Australia and Indonesia and many other countries are working together, not just to deal at the end, you know, at the end of it, the asylum seekers, but also to work at the prevention of it.
Well, we'll see what becomes of that. There are so many other issues that we could have explored. We are out of time, though, and we'll try to explore them in the remaining time that we have here in Jakarta. Dewi Fortuna, wonderful to have the opportunity to speak to you. Thanks so much for doing so.
Thank you.
Dewi Fortuna Anwar speaking to me there. As I mentioned, she's an extraordinary person, professor of political science, political advisor to the vice president of Indonesia, chairman of the Habibie Group.